All right. We have just finished a seven-week series that was called Explore God. We did it in conjunction with about a dozen other churches in the valley. And last week we finished with, can I really know God personally? Can we? And the answer was yes. So we looked at how we can know God personally. And Priscilla gave a wonderful message here, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Don't get tired of hearing Priscilla share and preach. And if you missed it, it's on the website, okay? So go to www.gcch.org and you can hit media and listen to it. We will begin a series next week on the 4th November. Don't know what Sunday is, but first Sunday. We will begin a series called Share, and that will be a four-week series that takes us to Advent, and then you can start listening to Christmas carols, but not until we have our first Sunday at Advent, right? Don't bust out the Christmas carols early. No, no. All right, so we'll do a four-week series called Share. We'll do a four-week series of Advent, and then we'll wrap up the year. Amazing. But right now, as we finished up Explore God last week, and next week we begin Share, is this Open Sunday. We build some Open Sundays into our calendar so that we can have guest speakers come and share things that are prophetic, share what God's speaking to us. And I did make a few invitations, and they weren't accepted. It wasn't you, it must have been me. And so, as it happens, God's been speaking some things to me, and I'm going to share that with you. All right? Yeah, it's exciting. So, all right, Sue, thank you for that still quiet time. I hope God was speaking to you, because I believe God wants to tell a few people something. So I won't cry through it. In John chapter 5, there's a story of Jesus healing a man at the pool of Bethesda. That's Maryland, Bethesda. So there was, inside the city near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, lame, blind, paralyzed, lay on porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't," he said. "No one can put me in the pool." Jesus told him, "Stand up. Pick up your mat and walk." I feel like there's somebody in here who feels hopeless and feels helpless. "I can't get well." And Jesus says, "I see you. I know you. I love you. Stand up." That's for somebody. I don't know how many times I've read that parable and not seen, "I see you and I know your situation." How encouraging to have a heavenly Father, a Savior that sees us and knows us. That's what Jenny read from Psalm 139. If you didn't catch that, "I see you, I know you." There is no place you can get away from his presence. That's really good news. Okay, that's not the message. It's a good lead up. So I want you to find Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles, if you can. Electronic. I'm going to read from the New Living. It's a really good translation. I'm finding new, and they're all good, but we're going to read from New Living. Luke chapter 10. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, "The kingdom is near you now." But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near." I'm going to pause there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is living and breathing. It teaches us, it corrects us, it imparts truth to us. Let your living, breathing word speak to us, transform us, and change us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when God is speaking to me, when God is speaking to us about something, isn't it true that everywhere we turn and everywhere we look, that's the message we hear? Like, we can be listening to something on the radio and like, "Oh, there it is again, Lord." Or I can be reading something in my devotional and I'll be like, "Oh, there it is again, Lord." And so over the last few months, one of the things God has been speaking to me is this thing that Sue just led us in, is listen. Listen to me. It's an emphasis. Sue and I are part of a small group over the last 2 months that Mark and Bev are leading. And in this, the theme of this small group is connecting with God. And in every one of our meetings, there are multiple exercises where we listen and we take some time and write out what God's speaking to us through his word, through promptings, through visions, dreams that he gives us. So I've been in small group, and that's the emphasis. At the beginning of the month, our One Focus Network that our church is a part of with 28, 29 other churches, the theme of the conference was listen. That was the big, and they had all these old school telephone graphics and hanging, and it was really creatively done. But they brought in speakers from Colombia, South America, from Norway, from Ghana, from India, and these leaders spoke what God is doing and speaking all around the world, and we were listening. And we took a moment in that conference and were quiet and listened. I have been reading a book. And the name of the book is Whisper, and it's written by Mark Batterson. It's a great book. In fact, it's affected me so much that I gave a bunch of these books away to our friends at Duck last week, and I thought, if I'm going to give those folks books, I should be generous with my own family. And so this Whisper book that this guy wrote on hearing God's voice is one of the most excellent books I've read in the last 2 years. So you can download it right now. If you're using your phone to do that, God bless you. If you're using your phone for anything else, God knows. There's a couple hard copies back there. If you struggle with believing or hearing God's voice in the different ways he speaks in addition to his word, grab one of those books. They're on the back table in the corner, all right? So there's a gift. So God's been speaking everywhere I turn about listening. And another theme that has been going on in our church family and in my heart for over a year is this theme of God being on the move and advancing his kingdom. God calling us to go. God is calling Grace to plant a campus east of town in our county, and it's going to be, the meetings are going to be in Spotswood High School, but we're going to be gathering from the whole eastern region of the county, we believe. So as we've been pursuing what God has called us to do, I feel like everywhere I look and everywhere I read, I because of that focus that God's given us, it's like I have a filter that picks up all of that emphasis, where I'm listening, where I'm reading, where I'm with other people. So it's no wonder that as I was doing devotional readings in the gospel and I came across this passage in Luke 10, it was like the perfect text to talk with you about the vision that God has given Grace to go east and plant another campus. So I have a bunch of what really stirred my heart insights that I'm going to share with you quickly here in a moment. But before I do, I want to give a little context for this passage. Luke 10 is kind of right in the middle. And Luke, I think, has more words than any of the other gospel writers on what's going on in the life and ministry of Jesus. And if you read, you know, Luke 2 is the classic really long text on Christmas, and we can camp out there when Advent comes. But Luke was precise, he was very detailed, and he writes a lot of things. So as you read through Luke's gospel, he is chronicling, he is detailing, Jesus is on the move, and Jesus is doing the stuff. Jesus raises a boy from the dead. Jesus turns water to wine. Jesus heals lepers. Jesus heals the woman who had the issue with bleeding constantly. Jesus calms the storm by just speaking and commanding it to be still, saying, "Peace, be still." Jesus walks on the water. Jesus is doing all of this stuff. And then in Luke chapter 9, a little bit of transition occurs, and it's paralleled in Mark chapter 6 and in Matthew chapter 10, and it says that he sends out the 12. So that's Luke chapter 9, right before the text that I read in Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, he commissions 72 to go. In Luke 9, Mark 6, Matthew 10, he commissions 12 to go. He gives them authority and says, go heal the sick. And you can go back and look at that. But in Luke chapter 10, where we just read, he gets a group of 72. He gets more people doing this stuff. And so there's this transition of Jesus doing all of these miracles and teaching the disciples, the followers of Jesus, and then it transitions into them doing this stuff. I grew up being a contractor, construction man. Dad was a builder. And so early on, I think one of the first skills in construction I learned was roofing. Shingles. So Dad would get me and my little brother up on the roof. He'd show us how to get the drip edge down. Then he'd show us how to do the first course of shingles, then the next course of shingles. Show us how to cut a little on the ends. And then he would get off the roof and we would just spend hours shingling. So he taught us and then he left us to do the stuff. It happened with insulation too. I remember roofing and I remember fiberglass insulation. He taught us and then he left us to do the stuff. And I tried to do that with our kids. I was pretty eager to teach our three boys how to mow the lawn. And for a big window of time, I didn't mow any lawns because I taught them how to do the stuff and then I left them to it. And that's what's going on here in this passage. Jesus has been doing this stuff and then he teaches his disciples, you can do it. I commission you. I authorize you. Go do it. And so these 72 take off and they go do it. And we're gonna look a little bit at some of the things that I think are hidden away or right here for us to embrace and be inspired by. And then we'll conclude by looking at the tail end of this passage. It's testimony time. And they come back and they are rejoicing because they did the stuff he sent them to do. I love testimony time. We've had some of that this past week, and it has been inspiring. All right, so real quick, let's learn a few things from this text. Things that have come alive to me. First of all, verse 1, Jesus sent them where he planned to go. I don't know why that jumped out at me, but I got so inspired. Jesus is planning to go to the east part of the county in a way he hasn't before, and he's sending us ahead of him. Now, there are really good churches already out there, and they're going to continue to be really good churches out there. And so us going isn't like God's never been in the eastern part of the county and he's bringing us to save the day. That would be the most arrogant thought we could think of. That's not it. God, there are wonderful churches. I wrote a note to the 40 that we could document were in that corridor in the Megakiesville, Pineville, Penn Laird area, and said, God's called us to come, and we're not coming to do anything other than partner with you in seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. So God's called us there, and it says in verse 1 that the Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to the places he planned to go. So Jesus is sending us east to the place he's wanting to go in a new way. Verse 2, these were his instructions to them. He gave them really clear, detailed instructions. When you read the next 5 verses, there is more specific details than I think anywhere else in Scripture that Jesus gives. He says, do this. Don't take money. And when you come in a home, say this. And when you say this, and then they respond, then do this. And if they don't respond well and they reject you, they don't really reject you. They're rejecting me, and dust off your feet and move on. It is specific. And I want you to know that in this year already, as we have prayed and we have planned, I don't know anything in my 20 years plus of ministry here that we have planned more already than this campus launch. And I just want you to know, I was like, it's okay. Jesus was doing real specific planning right here with his guys. It's okay. I just am afraid we're going to plan the life out of it. We won't, will we? Okay, there's a lot of detailed instructions. He says, the harvest is great. The harvest is great. The harvest is great. Bunch of us, well, most of us aren't farmer types. When there's a great harvest, we don't even know what that looks like. Think really big field, acres, miles of fields that are full of harvest. He's saying the harvest is great, but the workers are few. I think it's really cool. In Luke 9, Matthew 10, Mark 6, you can read the accounts. He sent out 12. Now he's sending out 72. Luke's the only one who documents this one. He sent a few. Now he's sending many because the harvest is great. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Rockingham County who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There are thousands of JMU students who come every year without a relationship with Jesus. And there are campus ministries that we love that are doing the work in the harvest field to bring college students to faith in Jesus Christ. The harvest is great, the workers are few, so pray, he says. Pray that there would be more workers. It's right there in verse 2. Pray that the Lord who's in charge of the harvest, I like the New Living there. Who's in charge of the harvest? The Lord. We cannot make things grow, but we can work in what he's made grow. Ask him to send more workers. Isn't this great? This is the ultimate Jesus setup. Pray, ask him to send workers. Oh, now you go, because you just prayed that you would. Do you see that? We're like, this is a really good word from God. I wish my friend down here is hearing it right now. And all the time we're thinking that this wonderful word is for someone else. God's saying, you. He's whispering, you. So he says, pray that there'll be more workers. Now you go. I'm sending you. The next little thing that really encourages me is he says, there in verse 3, go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Now that always has troubled me a little bit. I was like, okay, great, it's going to be a slaughter. That's not what the Lord is saying here. He's painting a picture that when you go, you're going to be vulnerable. It's risky to go. Do you know this? Ask Dan and Mary Hess, who are getting ready to go to Abe. It's a risk to go. You're vulnerable because people, it's said right here, some are going to accept your word of peace and some are going to reject it. But when they reject it, they're rejecting me. So not everyone receives us when we go. And there's a vulnerability to that. I want you to know it is risky to go when God sends you. I want you to know it's a bigger mistake and risk to not go when he sends you. Ask Jonah what it's like to not go when he sends you. He will give you the most amazing detours your life has ever had when he's called you and you don't go. We would be at more risk as Grace Covenant Church if we didn't go plant this East Campus after he's told us to than if we stayed here comfortable. Because you can't stay here comfortable because you will decline when you disobey God. So there's a vulnerability and a risk in going. That's what I believe he's saying by this sheep among wolves. Going has an urgency to it. He says, don't take food, don't take extra money, don't take a bunch of baggage that's unnecessary. There is an urgency to this going. Don't be weighed down with stuff you shouldn't be taking with you. That's just a life proverb. That's tweetable right there. Don't take stuff you shouldn't be dragging with you. Tweet that. As you go, you have authority to bless with peace, to heal the sick, and declare that the kingdom is here. God is sending Grace Covenant Church out to our community where he is about to go in a new way into his harvest field east of town. Let's go. I think I'm a little more excited than some of you. So why? Why go? Well, God gave us the vision to see thousands of people saved and healed and passionately following Jesus. And there are thousands of people east of town who don't know Jesus and need his salvation and need his healing touch. The biblical pattern for seeing people saved and healed is to go with the gospel, share it, and then plant a church. Paul did it time after time after time. Go to a community, speak the good news, plant a church. Go to a community, preach the good news, establish a church. So it's biblical. That's why I go. And there are people who need to hear it. That's why I go. Tim Keller, pastor up in New York City, author, he's written wonderful stuff. Here's a quote from a pamphlet he wrote on why plant churches. He says, new churches best reach the unchurched, period. Here's a little quote. Dozens of denominational studies over the years have confirmed that the average new church gains most of its new members, between 60 and 80% of the new people who go to a new church, from the ranks of people who are not attending any worshiping body. Isn't that really encouraging? How are we so far along? While churches over 10 to 15 years of age gain 80 to 90% of their new members by transfers from other congregations. Well, now that's a downer. The complete booklet, pamphlet, 6 pages of great reading on why plant churches from Keller, that's also available in the back. I'd love for a bunch of you to pick that up. So when you start a new church, a new campus, 60 to 80% of the people who come are unchurched, pre-Christian. But once you've been 10 or 15 years old, you become to have an identity as a family that is hard to break into for some reason. Can you believe? We think we are the most loving, welcoming, open to every. We are 30 years old, and we are not as open and welcoming as we think we are. Oh, we are so hospitable here. We love people, and we do. But I'm telling you, people feel like it is easier to come into a new group that is a new church than an established church. And go to a church that's 100 years old in their tradition, in their rut, and see how hard it is to assimilate into their family. So let's just keep birthing new churches, because that's the ones that people feel freest to participate in. It's so obvious, I think, but it's profound at the same time. So that's a Tim Keller quote. When are we doing this? Well, we're doing it in March of next year, the 17th. So how did we end up with March 17th of next year? Well, as we were praying and as we were processing this call of God to go east and plant a campus, we actually, okay, honestly, I thought we would be there right now already. So we had this great prayer meeting at the beginning of the year, didn't we? And it was our pastoral team, our eldership, our spouses. It was a wonderful time of prayer. And then as we finished the prayer time, we kind of checked in with everybody. What's the Lord saying? And I was like, this fall. And everyone else in the room was like, next year. And guess who was right? The collective sense of the leadership team was right. Now, I didn't pout much. You know, it is really possible many times in life to get God's heart and to get his will and to get his direction and not quite get that timing thing really right. And that is the grace of being in a body, a leadership team, a collaborative group of leaders. I think the best thing that has happened in my life over the last 20 years is to lead in a church where I'm submitted to a group of elders. Submitted is a real word. And it means you don't do what you want to do all the time. There's a bunch of men who would really benefit their marriage if they were more submitted in other areas. Oh, that's another message. I believe being submitted to the leadership team here has helped me in my marriage immensely. Can I get an amen, Sue? Thank you, babe. So I thought we would be there already. If we were there already, this message wouldn't even be happening on the fourth Sunday in October. We'd be in multiple campuses. But it's better when we do things not just God's will, but in his time. So the Lord directed us to next year, and then after praying and looking at some really practical things like calendars and the place we're going to. They have a musical in February. I thought, well, we could do it then too. That'd be miraculous. Plant your location in February when they're doing their musical and the whole place is tore up with props. And the voice of reason came from our leadership team again. Nah, that's not wise to do that in February. So March it is. March. So some of you don't know where Spotswood High School is. There. See Massanutten Mountain? And then below it, carved out all those trees, is this complex. And there's a building up there where the main school is, above the athletic fields. So we're going to do our campus launch on March 17th at that spot up there on the hill. And Spotswood High School, there's the outside of it. There's JJ and Becca. Some of you don't know them. They're on the left. That's not Merle and Sue on the left. Merle and Sue are on the right. And this little picture is just, I just wanted to rehearse to you. When we prayed and when we sought the Lord, we came with the idea that we could do this as an autonomous independent church plant. We could send JJ and Becca out to do what God had called them to do, and they could become independent of us as soon as possible, as soon as the Lord allowed. But as we prayed together, they were like, no, God wants us to stay part of this group, wants us to make this an extension of the vision of grace, not a brand new vision, not a new expression. So God spoke to them, and then he confirmed it with all of us. So we're doing this together. And then the last thing I just want to say is, if at any point in time, this campus, this location, ends up being able to fulfill the mission of God in that community by being independent and separate of us, we've blessed that already. You just need to know that. We will not hold on to any structure or anything to make ourselves comfortable. Whatever God wants, we want, and we're committed to doing it. And by saying these things out loud, then I'm accountable to even more people. All right. So it's going to be a team. The preaching team that preaches here will preach there and back and forth. The worship that you experience here will be just like the worship out there. The children's ministry that we have here is going to be reproduced there. That campus at Spotswood High School will be an extension and a reflection of grace here. Okay? All right, here's some of our wonderful logistics team, Bert and Eric and Jose. They got the backs there of JJ and Becca. Here's the auditorium. There's Robert Danzi, the principal on the left of Spotswood High School. He's an amazing man. Got to meet him this past week. He is so supportive of what we're doing. Here's the deal. I want you all to pray favor and blessing on this man. He is so supportive of us. We don't want him to leave as principal until we're done. When we have our own building, then he can quit being principal there, but not until then. I just feel that way. And so we were talking to him, and we said, you know, how long have you been here? 3 years, I think he said, three or four. He said, that's about the tenure of county principals. And we said, well, we'll pray that you get a long run here. And he said, please do. So there it is. Pray that this man will have favor in the administration and get a long run, a long tenure at Spotswood, because he's so supportive of us that we want him at the helm while we're there. All right. Here's an auditorium. Can you imagine 600 new believers of Jesus filling that place? Whoa. Okay, and here's Merle and Sue winning the duel. We won. They gave up. Okay. God is on the move. The kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom is near. That's the language Jesus used. Go. I'm sending you. Heal the sick. The kingdom is near. God is on the move. Here in the valley, he's on the move all around the world. And he's sending us to this community where he is about to go in a new way into his harvest. Jesus is lovingly and clearly commanding us to pray and to go. So pray and go. Are you excited? There, we're getting it. Right now, I can imagine the amazing testimonies of salvation and healing that are going to be shared the days and weeks and months after we launch this campus. I can see it. This past week, the ministry team got together on Monday night for an equipping time, and they told testimonies for the first 10, 20 minutes of the meeting, and it was so inspiring. Catherine was sharing them with us, and a few of them. You may not know this, we have a women's prison ministry, and those women go in most Saturdays, and they can't even, they have to minister through a mostly shut door. I've not done this, I'm not a woman, I'm hearing these stories. No one's taken video yet of it. I bet that's not allowed, is it? You could end up in, no. So as these ladies go each Saturday and share, women are getting saved in jail. Women are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Beth, who likes to get the Holy Spirit on everyone she meets, was saying this one lady got her prayer language while she was sitting there praying with her. For you Pentecostal, that's like Shambhala Takashiyara. It's amazing. Right here in Harrisonburg, in the prison, people are getting saved, healed, their prayer language filled with the Spirit. Boom. Some of you didn't know that. I don't get tired of hearing that if it was told every Sunday. Healing nights, once a month. We have as many people from the community coming as we do from our own and congregation. And people are getting healed. There are testimonies of God physically healing people. It is so beautiful. Then small group equipping happened on Thursday night. It was a crazy week this past week, Monday night, Thursday night. Thursday night, we had small group testimonies of people's lives being changed as small group families, units, come around and support them through all kinds of crisis. God is on the move. He's transforming our lives here, and he wants us to go and share that everywhere we go. It's testimony time at the close of this passage. Let me read. I'm going to jump down to verse 17. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." What is he saying? He's saying, rejoice. The disciples were thrilled. We did the stuff you taught us to do, and even the demons obeyed us. And he's like, that's good, rejoice. But don't rejoice just that you got the superhero powers. Here's how it is said in the message. All the same, great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and his presence with you. That's the message paraphrase. What a beautiful way to express it. It's great that all that stuff is happening, miracles, power over the enemy, but rejoice more that God's authority is over your life and that his presence is in you and with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing. Every one of us who goes has the love of God in our hearts to share. And that's what we rejoice in, is that he loved us and he saved us. That song we sang there, coming after us, God has come after every one of us with his amazing love. And that's the motive, and that's the only reason we go. We don't go to impress anybody. We don't go because we've got a great self-help book to impart to them. We go because the power of the living God has changed your life and my life, and that's what we want to go and share with other people. God is sending us, Grace Covenant Church, east into our community where he is about to go in a new way into his harvest field. Could I have a Luke come up? Play some anointed guitar. Could I have the ushers hand out some brochures? I've got something for everybody. So some people took the Tim Keller pamphlet. Some people grabbed those Mark Batterson books, and some of you are feeling left out. So I have something for all of you now. So here's a little brochure that explains what God has called us to. I hope that as I was sharing what God is stirring in my heart and what God's stirring in the hearts of the leadership team here, that God was speaking to your hearts and stirring faith in your hearts. I said it before and I'll say it again. God is already in the east part of Rockingham County, and there are wonderful churches already ministering there. But as we read this morning, the harvest is great. The harvest is great. The harvest is greater than those working in the harvest. Right? If the 40 churches, well, I don't even know how many churches are on the 33 corridor going east. There are many churches. But if every one of those churches was full every Sunday morning, there still would be thousands who wouldn't be reached. So there's room for more. There's a need for more. If every one of those life-giving churches east of town were full for three services every Sunday morning, there still would be a need for more workers in the harvest. And he's sending us to go. Rockingham County has grown by over 10,000 in the last 15 years. Some of that growth has been north, some of that growth has been south and west, but most of the growth in Rockingham County has been east. They've built two elementary schools and a new high school east in the last 10 years because that's where the growth is. So that's where he's calling us to go. So now you, I think everyone, every family unit has one of these brochures. So here's, you're already looking at it and reading it, and that's great. Now you're ignoring me. That's not great. One thing, Sue welcomed our guests earlier. If you're a guest here this morning, this is for your information. Everything else I'm about to say, you can just check out. Just what I'm about to say is a specific invitation to respond to our members and to our regular people, okay? So if you're a guest, no pressure. No, just enjoy this little family moment. All right, family. Not every one of us is going to go and participate on the launch team, because if all of us went, we'd have a problem here. God is calling some specific ones to go help pioneer in the children's ministry, some to go help in worship ministry, some to help with, we're going to need a parking ministry there. We don't need it here, but we're going to need it there. There are all kinds of ways that God is going to open for us to serve and to go. And we're just so you know, we're praying that 100 people will feel the tap on their shoulder and go and be part of the launch team. But all of us who consider this home, all of us who attend, and all of us who are members can pray. That's what Jesus said to his group. Pray, pray. Pray there'll be more workers in the harvest. And as you pray for this, I'm telling you, where you pray, that's where your heart goes. Don't be surprised if God says, go. Go. When you pray, he's going to tap a bunch of you that aren't even seeing it coming yet. And that's good, because you're going to respond in faith. So all of us can pray, and I want you to all pray, and all of us can give. And I just want to acknowledge some, right now in this room, of our members and regular folk, some of you have never given anything to this church, because you look around and you say, well, this is an established place. They don't need any money. I'll respond in other places. And the truth is, we don't need your money and God doesn't need your money. But if you've never contributed, you're missing out on the opportunity to participate in what God's called us to do together. So don't think about giving your money to us. Think about giving your money through us to the people who are going to be reached with the gospel east of town, and that can be your inspiration. So the total launch budget, we're going to spend $125,000 before March 17th. I promise you that. I'm good at spending money. Responsibly. I'm married to Sue. I don't do irresponsible things with money. And I'm submitted to a whole group of leaders. We will spend $125,000 launching this church on March 17th. And God will provide it. And you get to be a part of that if you will. And if you won't, that's with you and God. I've got no thumb screws to use or anything else. I just want you to do what God calls you to do. And God's calling all of us, I believe, to pray, and all of us to give. And I believe some of us will go. And some of us will go for 6 months. That's what JJ and Becca are asking of the launch team. And in 6 months' time, because of all the new people who come and all the people who give their hearts to Jesus and all of the new participation in that church, we will be able to have you back to home base if you want to. But don't be surprised as you go, you stay. And you'll do it because God calls you, not because any leader said, this is the way it must be. We won't do that. Be free. Do what God tells you to do. And we're believing 100 of us are going to go and help for 6 months. And then be free to stay or to go back and forth. That's a little confusing to me. I don't know what it'll look like. We've not been this way before. Can you tell? I was thinking recently, this going for 6 months could be kind of perceived as a short-term mission trip by staying here in Harrisonburg and going on a short-term mission trip. Short-term mission trips change your life. You make sacrifices, you give in ways that you don't normally give, and God shows up and does stuff that you've not seen before. You have incredible encounters with God. Short-term mission trips are the bomb. And you can be on one without leaving town. And the good news is, if you take advantage of it, you don't have to sleep in a bed that you're not comfortable with. You don't have to eat food that you've never eaten before. And you can still have those encounters with the living God as you lay your life down for other people. It's a pretty great little idea, I thought. So we have a $125,000 budget to get the gear together and to get the word out to the unchurched pre-Christians east of town. And we're praying and believing that all of those resources are going to be provided through you and me. So now, it's another time to listen. So I'm going to be quiet. I want everyone in this room who's a member, regular part of Grace, to fill this out, and the ushers are going to come and receive it. And I just want you to respond in the way God tells you to respond, not in any other way. I noted earlier some of you are thinking, this is a large church. It's an established church. My gifts, my participation isn't really needed. I want you to think about, as 100 go and serve and give their gifts there, there's going to be 100 vacancies here. God's called you here. If God's called you here, you're needed. Your gift is needed. Your life, your participation is needed. Get to the back, because once we stand up, we're gone. You got something, Jerry? We didn't rehearse this. Is this going to be a good thing? Yep.
This pastor has a lot of faith to do what he just did, to hand the mic to somebody unrehearsed. One time I walked in a hospital room, a man had surgery, and the side effects were going to be bruised eyes, couldn't breathe for a couple of days because it was a nose operation, and swelling and all this. I walk in, and he says, "You are in the middle of a miracle." There was no swelling, there was no nothing. You couldn't even tell he had surgery. No side effects. Well, we are in the middle of a vision. You are in the middle of a vision that the Lord gave Merle a long time ago. And it's called the death of vision has come back to life. Some of you who old timers who got a teaching on that from Bill Gothard, you're in the middle of the fulfillment of a vision today. And I want, you heard the word pray this morning. Many times, I cannot tell you how important that is for this church plant to make it if we don't pray. There's a lot of spiritual warfare going on in the heavenlies right now, and especially in that area, and especially in that building. So we need to commit ourselves to pray in the Spirit. Because the Lord knows exactly what we need to be praying. So if you pray in the Spirit, if you have a prayer language, I would say pray every day in the Spirit. in preparation for this church plant, so we can go without that extra interference.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you would bless each one here with more of a revelation of your love for them. I pray you would bless each one with opportunities to talk about you at school and at work and with the next door neighbor. I pray you would bless each one with gifts for the body to be expressed, to build up and strengthen the body of Christ. I pray you would bless each one with financial resources to be generous with. And Lord, I pray you would bless us to go. You're sending us. I pray you would tap the ones you want to tap to go for a short time. I pray you'd tap the ones you want to go indefinitely. You've put JJ and Becca at the point of this initiative, but you've called others to join alongside. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. So bless us to go. Bless us to share the good news of the gospel. And I pray for workers, and I pray for more workers in the harvest. You promise us, Lord, that the harvest is great. So raise up more and more to serve and to work in your harvest field in the east part of our county and here in Harrisonburg at this location. We pray all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you've responded through your cards. I bless you to go. In Jesus' name.